The covenant of faith to be distinguished. The covenant of faith. I wrote something on the board. What is the difference between the two? Yes, the top one is plural, God's covenants of blank. And the bottom one says God's covenant of blank. What is the word that's missing on both? They both start with the same letter. And we have talked about them extensively. God's covenant of promise and God's covenant of performance. What is the distinction?
God promises sanctification, the performance is the stipulation, but it's Christ that does both for us.
Okay, but in terms of the way that it's divided here, plural, singular, what are these referring to?
Old Testament, New
Testament. Okay. Such as? Who else?
Moses, David.
Moses, David, Israelites in exile. And this one? Okay. Covenants with an S of promise, covenant of performance. It's now self-explanatory, yes? You understand why? Okay. The scriptural warrant in setting that down, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. How many covenants are there?
One.
Why did they say covenants, plural?
As they're given.
Yes. They're talking about the increase or unfolding in that particular way. So God's covenants of promise before Christ are limited to one peculiar people. And God's covenant of performance in Christ is extended to all nations. That's not a division of different kinds of covenants. It's a distinction in one covenant in various administrations, differing only, let's put this word up here, accidentally or / circumstantially. So those will be new words that you'll hear a few times. The properties, qualities, circumstances, administrations of the covenants. They're called accidents. Not accidents like you bump into somebody or you get in a car crash. They're qualities of things. The Gentiles before, that was Ephesians 2:11 and 12 that I read, but the Gentiles before Christ's death were strangers to these covenants which belong to Israel alone. So the covenants of promise belong to who? Israel alone. Yet, are there any Gentiles?
Yes.
Caleb.
Right? So you have Gentiles. Abraham was a Gentile. Abraham became a Hebrew. Jacob's name is changed. So we say Israel before and all nations afterwards. Yet we still put a little asterisk, so to speak, in that particular way, knowing that Gentiles are going to be part of the deal. Christ, the ground of the distinction, is the chief matter of the covenant of faith. He's promised to come in the flesh and to suffer, to die, to rise, and ascend for his elect's redemption. The mercy promised to our fathers, Luke 1:72, or these all received not the promise, Hebrews 11:39. That is the covenants of promise. Did he get a promise? Did Adam get a promise? Did he 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 get his promise?
No. Yeah, increased.
Technically, all one. He got an acorn.
He knew less.
That's correct. So think of it like this.
It's a crescendo.
Yes, it is. Right? So you got the acorn. There's Adam. And then maybe, you know, there's the ground, and there's like one little sprout is Noah. And then you got the ground again, and it grows up into maybe a little bit of a bigger tree with a few leaves on it. And that's Abraham, and you keep going until the oak. The substance of it is all still the same, yet they all didn't receive the same thing in the sense that they all didn't get the full picture. Performed, having come, lived, died, risen, ascended, all accomplished, God having provided some better thing for us. Better thing, how? Moses didn't have a good thing?
He did.
What'd
you
say?
He did.
He's looking for the right word. Fulfilled.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Luke 1:68-72. I'm going to take everybody here tomorrow. I'm going to give everybody $1 million so you don't have to worry about work. And then I'm going to take everybody to Disney World. Now you look at that. Let's pretend it's real. It's not, but pretend it's real. Or wherever, pick a spot, Paris, London, whatever. You have the promise of it, which is nice. But when you get there, it's a whole different story than me just telling you. Performed, the covenant of performance. What? Covenant of performance. What is it also called? The what?
Redemption.
No, that's outside. Deal with time. Inside time. I'm going to bring something along in which all of this stuff is going to be so upgraded, so to speak, and so refreshed for you that it will be new. Like my mercies that are new every morning. The covenants of promise, God's one covenant in Christ, from Adam's fall until Christ's incarnation, promising life through him under many administrations, Noah, Abraham, Sinai, David, etc. The covenant of performance, the same covenant in Christ already accomplished, called the new covenant. A new covenant shall not wax old, Hebrews 8:13. After the new covenant, what is the next covenant that's going to occur? Nothing better. That's God's point. That's why he says that. Before all of this stuff up here, before Christ, the covenants of promise were confined to Israel. He showeth his word unto Jacob. He hath not dealt so with any nation. Psalm 147. Verse 19, unto them were committed the oracles of God, Romans 3:1-2. To whom pertaineth the covenants, Romans 9:4. Since Christ, the new covenant is preached to all. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition, Ephesians 2:14. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, Ephesians 3:6. Go ye there, therefore, and teach
all
nations. Matthew 28:19. Preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. So, we go back over here. Moses, David, Israel. Right here, Adam and Noah most obscure. From Noah to Abraham, more clear. From Abraham to Moses, a lot of things happened in there. From Abraham to Moses, things that we generally don't think about happen in there. Clearer still, Moses to David, more perfect. David to the Babylonian captivity, there are further additions given. And then captivity to Christ's death, surpassing everything before. So the covenants of promise and the covenant as it's new or refreshed are substantially one, tendering the same Christ but differing in circumstance. Since Christ, grace is more extensively offered and rejection is more inexcusable. Before Christ, Israel alone was in covenant, and since Christ, Gentiles are fully admitted and often exceed the Jews in privilege for certain reasons. The first period, which, as we deal with this, is going to be from Adam to Noah. Okay. Adam to Noah, the first period. Adam to Noah. The covenants of promise before Christ's incarnation had many administrations in that covenant of faith. In his first period, from Adam to Noah, the man of God, Moses, records the earliest revelation of Christ after the fall. What is the earliest revelation of Christ after the fall? Yep. Cryptic. Clear to Adam. Clear to Eve. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The everlasting gospel was the foundation stone of the covenants of promise, revealing Christ to recover sinners. What is the occasion? The occasion is the moving cause. We call it the moving cause. That is the devil. The sin. Eve's deception. Was that a sin?
Yeah.
Was it a sin when she said, God said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't touch it? And then, Adam by Eve. Here, eat this. Was that a sin?
Adam didn't stop the
He didn't do a lot of things, yeah. The effects, guilt, shame, hiding from God. He went and hid. First response of sin, communion has been broken. What I'm going to go do is I'm going to go run behind the bushes because God will not see me there. Sin makes you stupid. That's what it does. God's inquest. Why did he do that? He questioned them. Where are you? Such a hammer. All of that's a hammer. How do people respond to God's inquest and questions about sin when sin is present? Stupidly. Oh, well, you know. It's her fault. You gave her to me. That's what he said to him. Because you gave me the woman, this is what happened. You shouldn't have gave me the woman. Shouldn't have done that. I would have been fine all by my... Right? Then he goes to Eve. He talks to Eve. I mean, consider the order. Who did he talk to first? You know, dealing with the serpent, then the woman, then the man. In judging the serpent, God promises man's recovery before pronouncing a sentence, showing that he's still merciful. And the devil didn't say anything. He's the smart one. What am I going to say? I know what I did. These people, they don't really understand what they're even doing. The serpent, not merely the idea. We could get into it. I don't want to get too far into it. The serpent not being a snake, talking snake. There are no talking animals in the garden. Animals do what they're supposed to do. Cows walk around and moo, and lions walk around and roar, and snakes don't talk. But when he talks to that old serpent, the devil talked to them. And they were not surprised that the devil was speaking with them. They didn't know it was the devil. What does Paul say about the devil? How does he appear? He comes like an angel of light. So the angel of light comes and they have a conversation with the devil. That old serpent, the devil, the dragon. Revelation picks up all sorts of Genesis ideas. That old serpent, the dragon. That old serpent, the dragon. He's cursed above all creatures. That's awesome, really, that God would do that. You're acting like this crafty snake. So, I'm not even going to give you the satisfaction of saying, hey, you angelic being, I already threw you out of heaven. And now you're down here messing around with Adam and Eve. He doesn't do that. He just says, I'm going to abase you so low that the very craftiness that you're taking on, I'm going to make you eat dust. I'm going to make you bow lower than all the other creatures. All of creation, in comparison, you're going to be deemed the lowest. When, no doubt, he was probably the highest. Maybe one of the seraphim in heaven, who knows? But the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, Romans 16:20. That would have been salt on the wound for him. That would have been terrible for him to hear that. It would have been aggravating for him to hear that. Because the very sin, we could get into that, we're not going to get into that, but the very sin of pride being cast out of heaven, as we're dealing with Jude and talking about the pride of angels and rebellion and all of this. Opposite of that is being debased. The woman. Immediately, Eve. Immediately, all women, especially as to the promised seed. Preeminently, Mary is the mother of Christ, yet the victory is Christ, not Mary. Is the seed, there are two lines. Get this wrong, you get a lot of the Bible wrong. There are two lines, two seeds. What are the two lines and what are the two seeds? You have the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Everybody is in one of two categories. This is all the categories that we have. And the way Moses sets it down, Moses is the author of Genesis, the way Moses sets it down is lineage. There's a seed of the woman, there's a seed of the serpent. Where do you belong? Where are you? Natural brood of serpents and all reprobates who imitate the devil, ye are of your father the devil, John 8:44. The woman's seed, collectively Christ the head and his elect members the body, that fits the antithesis. As the serpent's seed is collective, so must the woman's be. Punishments. The devil's cursed, debased. Do snakes eat dust? He's going to. That's the humility factor. Extreme divine curse, perpetual abasement, unending enmity with Christ and his people, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Total ruin. Able only to bruise the heel while his head is crushed. But there are benefits that are promised. God's free grace, setting enmity between the woman and Satan, implying enmity to sin and reconciliation with God. A seed wholly opposed to Satan's, principally Christ, secondarily in his members, continual conflict that they will have with Satan. Their lives will be of war all the time. Until final victory, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. So in the first gospel promise, God reveals the Redeemer and his triumph over Satan, the seed of hope for all the elect until Christ coming in the flesh. Let's stop there.